It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. From Subway sandwich shops to Dunkin' Donuts to McDonald's, chances are you pass by a franchise business on a regular basis. Some people with dreams of having their own business find franchises are the way to go. This week, contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looks at the business of franchises. Rebecca Harris, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
I'm well, thank you. Let's talk about the business of franchising. What exactly is a franchise for those who do not know?
Well, and there's some specific definitions that people might not realize, so we're going to talk about those, and probably people are driving through a franchise right now for lunch. So franchising is a method of doing business which enables companies to expand their markets very rapidly and much less expensively than if they were starting company-owned stores in various markets. And a franchise is a business which really its owners or the franchisors sell the rights to the business logo, the name, and the model to a third party owned by independent third-party operators who are the franchisees. And really, when you think about it, the franchisors are the suppliers, and they allow a franchisee to basically distribute their goods. And when you, the first franchisor, when we did our research, we found that it was in the 1850s with Isaac Singer, who invented the sewing machine. So in order to distribute his machines outside his geographic area and provide training and all the things that his customers needed, he started franchising and licensing to entrepreneurs.
What year was this?
This was 1850.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in 1955, Ray Kroc.
105 years later.
Right. Ray Kroc took over a small chain of food restaurants, and basically we know what happened with that. It's now the largest and incredibly successful food franchise in the entire world.
Do they even bother to put up a sign that says how many they've served? Remember how they used to do that?
Yeah, I do remember that as a kid, and you'd be like, wow, and the original old arches. I think we had a real arch in St. Louis when I grew up, and now it's quite different, but it's certainly quite a business.
Which industries have the most popular franchise opportunities? So if I'm looking to start a franchise, what direction do I want to go in?
And you certainly want to do a lot of due diligence when you're thinking about whether or not you should go into a franchise, and you want to conduct market research to find out which businesses are likely to succeed. You want to look at which industries are very saturated, where you should put up a business. I mean, you're not going to put one next to one that has the same products. So that's very important. So when we looked at the numbers today, there's an estimated 700,000 franchise establishments. They employ over 8 million Americans, and they create $840 billion in output. So that's like almost close to 4% of our U.S. GDP. So it's a huge number, Paul. Fast food is the biggest, service, building and construction, business services, retail and automotive, and lodging. Those are some of the biggest franchises. Now, what's interesting is there's a big trend, and this was in Forbes 2014 Best Franchise List. If you're going to buy into a franchise up to $150,000, and there's certainly different levels, right now the top 10 that are selling, part of the top 10 right now, are home health brands. Bright Star, Right at Home, Synergy Home Care. So I think as the baby boomers age, that's a big trend in terms of what's hot.
Is it a good trend?
Well, I think that what it shows is there's a need in the market that is opposed to setting up independently owned home health care organizations, which with all the requirements, the licensing, if somebody sets up all that, a company does, and then sells a franchise, that enables those people to really grow right into business, provide the service, and not have to go through all of those startup costs and training, which can be very expensive.
What are some of the most popular franchises in Pittsburgh?
Well, we have some good ones. We have some hometown ones like GNC, which is here in the headquarters, big headquarters downtown. We have Supercuts. Supercuts is here, and the woman who owns the local franchise here actually has a number of stores that she coordinates, and one of the largest in the country. We have Two Men in a Truck. We have Planet Fitness, and then we have our good old standbys. So we have the basic Subway and Wendy's and Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's. So when we looked at the whole spectrum, that's really what we're seeing. In terms of lodging, you've probably seen this, Paul. Spring Hill Suites by Marriott has become very popular. And so we're seeing a lot of those going up.
do companies determine where franchises can be open so the market doesn't become saturated and stores aren't too close together?
Absolutely. When we look at some of the requirements, you can't put a franchise within a certain number of miles from another one. There are very specific rules on where they can be located and how close. And certainly the franchisor who's going to make a royalty in all these wants to be very strategic about where they place them, because it's all about competition in the marketplace. It's about being a niche. It's about who's in that area, because how far are you going to travel actually to go visit your favorite X, Y, or Z?
We're talking with Rebecca Harris. She is director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship and Chatham University and our business contributor. So, Rebecca, when a business person operates a franchise, are they considered an entrepreneur?
We get this question a lot, Paul, and I think it's very important to think about this. On one hand, an entrepreneur, which the traditional definition is a person who organizes and manages an enterprise with considerable initiative and risk, and certainly a franchisee fits right into that. As a franchisee, you have to buy into a business. You have to undergo a lot of risk. However, in the for-profit world, when we think about an entrepreneur, it's really someone who creates and runs a new business where one didn't exist before.
That would seem to be the traditional.
That's the traditional. That is the sort of the traditional model now. But when you see a franchisee who basically has to finance the purchase, who most likely had to take out a loan, who had to put up his or her home as collateral, who has to organize a workforce, who has to handle marketing and all the tasks that a business owner has to take on every day, that is very much like what an entrepreneur does. And so there's debates on both sides. And I think sometimes people say, well, Ray Kroc was the true visionary and he was the true entrepreneur. But really, his vision couldn't stand if he didn't have all these other stores around the country and the world, because how much can you make on one single sole standing McDonald's? And so I think sometimes—
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's right.
How much— I would think you'd do all right.
You'd do all right. It would depend on where it is and everything else, but it's certainly not the same as the volume that is now happening and the royalties that are being paid to the company. Some people say that people play it safe when they are looking for guidance and leadership in terms of buying into a franchise. And I think that's great, because—
How do you?
So what happens is you would actually, as we said, you'd conduct some market research. There's lots of franchise associations. There's information on the internet about it. You might see a business opportunity and consider buying into it and doing your research. Sometimes I think that people really look at what they're most passionate about and then find the type of franchise they want to buy into, which I think makes sense, because you really are buying into a business even though you might not have started it yourself.
And if an owner decides to get out of a business, do they sell their store back to the company or another person interested in taking over the franchise?
Right. I think it can be either way, and I think those probably go along with the actual requirements that you look at when you actually invest in the initial franchise and all the research that goes in, because you'll sign a number of financial documents. There'll be lots of reports that are required, and that might be part of the terms that the franchisor gets the initial cut, but if there's a good price. So I think that those are things that definitely could be in part of the legal contract.
And how do you protect yourself from investing in the wrong franchise?
Well, that's very important, because first of all, when you buy into one, let's go back there, you want to look at the corporate image and training and the savings and time, because the franchise company already has a business model in place. And you might think, wow, this is a great deal. So when you want to make sure that you are protecting yourself and not buying the wrong one, first of all, you want to make sure there's a niche. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And franchisors are required by federal law to provide prospective buyers with disclosure documents at least 14 days prior to sale. So those documents should really give you details on the strength and the weaknesses, including the franchisor's revenue, the number of units that have been sold, whether there have been lawsuits. So you really need to look into the system. You need to ask other franchisees, How have they done? I mean, do they get the support that they need? Is it training there? There is a company called International Franchise Association, so you want to check and see if this company that you're looking at is a member of that. So you need to do your homework.
Rebecca Harris is director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looking at the business of franchises. Rebecca, as always, great thanks.
You're welcome. What should we start? Or where should we go out for lunch to a franchise, Paul?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll have to think about that.
Okay.
But in the meantime, thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes, and check out images of Chutzpah, Superheroes of the Holocaust at our website, WESA.FM. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.